Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 128 on March 11th, 2016. So I have another interview for you. This is a lovely man from Seattle who wanted to come on the show and answer all of those wild and woolly questions that I throw at people when they're so brave as to come on my show. So yes, Matt from Seattle. Enjoy. And this is a guy named Matt who was kind enough to send me an email and volunteer to be interviewed on Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast. So welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, I appreciate anybody who's willing to come on my podcast and share their stories, because the more we share stories with each other, then the more we learn and the more it personalizes it too. So I do appreciate you coming on, and let's start in with the questions. So tell me a little bit about yourself, married, single, what kind of relationship structure, if you have one. Tell me a little bit about the basics.
I'm married. We've been monogamous so far, although I think that might change eventually.
Uh-huh. And how long you been married?
Let's see, less than a year.
Aha, uh-huh, so newly married then.
Newly married to somebody I've been with for a long time, but yeah.
Nice. And your sexual orientation?
Straight.
Uh-huh. So how did you get interested in pegging?
Let's see. I originally saw like an image of pegging on the internet when I was, I don't know, like 13, 14.
Wow.
I was interested in it ever since. So it was before I was sexually active.
Gotcha. And so I forgot to ask you this part. How old are you?
Oh, I'm 34.
So when you were 13, you saw that and it just kind of stuck in your head?
Yeah. Like I had already like seen some sexual stuff before then. And
sure.
I had always kind of leaned in a, I didn't really think of it this way at the time, but I had always sort of leaned in like a dom sub direction.
Uh-huh.
And then when I saw that picture of pegging, I was like, that's the thing. Like, that sort of perfectly summed up, the desires I had that I just kind of didn't really know how to formulate at the time.
Even though you weren't sexual yet.
Yeah, I mean, I was sexually interested.
Sure.
But it was years before I actually had a sex partner.
Sure. So were you able to express those desires right off the bat in your sexual activities and your relationships in the beginning?
Yeah, with my first girlfriend.
Wow, that is so awesome, because that's rare. That's very rare. So how did she take it? You know, what was that like?
She was totally fine with it. She had quite a bit more sexual experience than I had.
Uh-huh.
And she had never done that before, but she had done plenty of other things. And when I told her about it, she just kind of took it as like, oh, that sounds exciting. Let's try it.
That's awesome to have somebody so open-minded. That's totally cool. So was that the first person that you tried it with? Was your first girlfriend?
Yeah.
Wow. You are an anomaly, sir. You really are. And how old were you then?
18.
So you've been enjoying pegging for all these years?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's been years where I was single, but other than that, yeah.
Uh-huh. And so has every partner been interested in it and done pegging with you, every partner that you've chosen?
Yes, with the exception of a couple of like really short-term relationships that never got to that point. But otherwise, yeah.
Sure. And was that a factor? Sort of like, you don't want to do this, so I'm out of here?
It wasn't like that. It was more of like the overall dynamic. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't pegging specifically. It was more that like sometimes I would get with a partner who very clearly wanted to take like a submissive role pretty much exclusively.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would totally be down to like switch or something. But if it's like, if it's me in the dominant role all the time, like that's not going to work for me.
Yeah. Well, it's so cool that you knew that so early, because some people just struggle with that for so long, especially men struggle with it, because that is not what society usually likes to see you all as.
Yeah.
You're expected to be seen as the dominant, in control, you know, run the fuck guys.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I'm like totally down with for that now and then, but not all the time.
Mm-hmm, sure. So this partner that you have now, your wife, did you introduce it to her or the other way around, or how did that happen?
Yeah, I introduced it to her. And I think she told me actually that the first time she heard it, she thought it sounded pretty weird. But then the first time we tried it, she enjoyed it.
Went from weird to yeehaw.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. How did you tell her? Did you just kind of, you know, use your words? There's so many different ways to expose your partner to the desires that you have. And some guys like leave a porn movie out or something like that. Was it just great conversation or?
Oh yeah, nothing like that. Like I like talk way the hell too much. And my my wife is kind of the same way. And like we met on OkCupid.
Yes.
And there's like all these questions, right? Like that
yes.
you answer there. And when we met each other, we really liked each other and we thought it was strange that we had answered all of these questions differently. And we started talking about them and realized that we just sort of got different impressions from the questions and answered them differently for that reason. Anyway, over the course of this, like we encountered like a whole bunch of questions about sex and kink and
pegging. Yes. There are pegging questions in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we just ended up like talking about all this stuff pretty much before we were even officially dating. Cause we had just met and we just sort of like talked about these questions forever.
I see. I'm on OkCupid too. I am. I'm on there right now. I went back and I wiped my whole profile and I answered all the questions with intention and weighted the ones that are important to me correctly and just did it all over again, you know?
Oh, yeah. I did the same thing. And then when I met my wife, she was like, well, I thought that question meant this. And turns out we were answering different questions.
But meaning the same thing. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Interesting. Huh. So when you get down to the nitty gritty and when you actually enjoy pegging, let's talk about first, what kind of foreplay do you like receiving the most? What's your favorite?
Receiving? Probably like, I don't know, just like making out and rolling around.
Mm-hmm.
I like it, especially if she's like, you know, like grabbing my ass in a suggestive way kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And is she already wearing the strap on at that point?
Not usually.
Mm-hmm.
I would kind of like that now that you mention it. But
because sometimes when I have a partner and I already have my strap on and we're doing the rolling around and kissing and all that sexy stuff, it's kind of fun because it's almost like a bit of a cockfight because he's hard and, you know, it's really fun to feel that kind of.
Yeah, that sounds really fun. I'm going to bring that up.
I'm giving you ideas.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's so funny. So are you one of these guys that likes sucking on her dildo?
Yes, very much so.
That is so cool. So I'm interested, because you did mention you're straight, I'm interested in what about that is exciting for you?
That's a good question. I like definitely the submission of it.
Uh-huh.
That's definitely part of it. I don't know. I think also on some level, I feel like I'm breaking a taboo and I like that.
Nice. Yeah, nice. And the reason I ask that is because I think there's a lot of other people out there that see that act and can't see it any other way than, well, of course you must be not straight because you're mimicking sucking a dick, right?
Yeah.
So those two answers, that's awesome.
In my mind, it's like, well, but it's a girl dick, so it's straight.
Right. I know. One of my friends said, I prefer my strap-on with breasts. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And what is your favorite position?
I guess probably on my back.
You like the missionary, like pseudo-missionary thing?
Yeah. And to be honest, like, I want to say doggy style, but that's harder for me.
Why is it harder?
For some reason, like it's easier for me to be penetrated when I'm in missionary position.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like doggy style, but it's just like more of a challenge.
Sometimes it's a matchup of or mismatch of leg lengths.
Mm.
There's a number of different things. One of the things I find really helps out and helps, it's not exactly like doggy style, but face down over a couple of pillows or one of those lovely Liberator sex cushions, because then you're face down. But you can relax and she can move around and change the angle depending on what feels the best. Because interestingly enough, my fantasies take me to him face down or doggy style.
Sure.
Even though in real life, I mean, that's what I get off on the most, envisioning. But in real life, I really like the intimacy. I like being able to watch him when I penetrate him. And you can't do that with doggy unless you have some big ass mirror, you know.
Yeah.
I'm making a note to put one of those up, right?
Thinking about that too.
I know, right? So have you ever tried, you know, some of the other ones? Okay, those two you mentioned, like the missionary and the doggy. And some of the other ones, like I call it cowboy. She's laying down, you ride her.
Oh, yeah. Definitely enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. Because that's actually one of my more favorite ones, too, just to be able to watch him.
Yeah, that's the same thing my wife said.
Mm-hmm. Plus, it's like I can be a pillow princess and just sit there. He's doing all the work, which is always kind of fun sometimes if I'm really tired. So what equipment do you have? What did you decide to get?
Oh, man, how much time you got?
we have an hour here, Matt.
Sure. So a bunch of different harnesses, of course.
What's your favorite?
Favorite is probably Oslon leather.
Yep.
But I think we actually use the spare parts more because it's just easier.
It is. Just throw it in the wash.
Yep. Yeah.
It's so well made, too.
Yeah. And we got some other ones that we don't use nearly as much. Like, I can't even remember what it's called now, but it's like one that is like all cloth and it looks sort of like underwear, basically, that you could just kind of like slide on.
There's a bunch of different companies that, well, there's a few different companies that make those. One is Rodeo, and they kind of look like briefs.
And yeah, it's the exact same style as that, but it's not actually Rodeo. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's another one that got bad reviews because they can't make them fast enough. Velvet Nest, that's what it was called.
Oh, yeah. I really wanted one of those, and I tried to order it, and like their website couldn't even get it together enough to send me one.
Well, it's probably good you didn't give them any money because on Reddit they talked about that a lot, and there are people who have gotten them. The people who actually have gotten them love them, but there's a whole bunch of people who never got them, never got their money back. Nobody will talk to them. It's just really sad because they had a very good product.
Have you tried one?
I have not. No, I was never willing to give them the money.
Yeah, smart call.
But I have been fortunate enough to have people sending me harnesses because I talk about them. And recently, I'm really excited. I got one of the spare parts Sasha's. And that's the one that's like the panty style. And it's got the ruching in the back, so it highlights your butt cheeks. Plus, it's got garters, which is like so freaking feminine. I love it.
Nice.
So, backing up. Well, no. Wait, we're not finished with equipment. So, what's your favorite dildo?
Probably Vamp silicone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we've also got some that we really like from, I think it's called Vixen Creations.
Yep. Great companies. Yeah.
Those are definitely our two favorites. We've tried some others that just like didn't work at all.
So you like the softer ones a little bit, the dual density, or have you bought that from Vixen Creations? They have two different kinds. They have the 100% silicone, which is awesome. And these are also 100% silicone, but they're dual density. They call them Vixskin.
Oh, yeah. Vixskin. Yeah.
That's what you have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vamp ones are pretty soft, too.
Mm-hmm. So you like the softer ones.
Yeah. I think – I don't know necessarily that we've found like the perfect balance yet, but we've tried some others that were like so hard that they were like unusable.
Yeah. Definitely had that happen. So have you tried out the doubles yet?
Yes, and we love the concept. But,
which one did you get?
Let's see. Tried the Happy Valley something?
Yes, Happy Valley Silicone, the Tango.
Yeah, which I thought was pretty great. But for her, it was like too hard against her clit or something.
Uh-huh.
It just didn't quite work for her. And we tried another one that escapes me. But the other one was worse.
So, the other one was worse. Yeah. Well, the ones people know of most often are Fun Factory Share and then the Fieldo line.
Oh, I think we tried a Fieldo at some point.
Yeah, those are actually pretty hard.
Yeah, like I said, if we could somehow get one that was like the right shape and the right density, I think it'd be great. But we haven't found that combination yet.
Interesting. Huh. It's so individual. And yeah, there's exactly. There's so many factors. It's not just how it feels inside of you. including all the variations of that, which is how hard it is, what it's shaped like, how big it is, what angle it's at. It's all of those factors for her as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think actually we've found, you know, we've definitely found toys that work for each of us. Like if we could glue a couple of them together, it would be perfect. But
so what is her favorite?
Let's see. She likes the Vixen ones.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are probably her favorite, actually.
And so do you have one that has a vibe in the base of it? Or does she orgasm while she's pegging you? Or how does it work for you guys?
Well, we got pretty lucky with that because she's able to come from pegging me even with nothing.
Oh, man.
Like it's
happy for her, envious too.
Like it's really hard for her to do it. It takes like a really long time, but she can get there. But like we found that like if we do the same thing, but like add a vibrator, then it's a lot easier.
And how do you add the vibe?
Let's see. We've done where you put it like inside of the spare parts,
little pocket for the vibe, right?
And we've tried putting it like in the base of the dildo, because like all the dildos we have that little like that little space at the bottom that you can put a vibrator in. So we've tried that as well, and that like kind of works for us, but not quite, because we can't seem to find a vibrator that fits perfectly in that space and vibrates well enough.
Yes, yes. Well, if you're in the mood for buying more toys, right?
Always.
The company that started out with the name Happy Valley is now called Fuse, and it's FUZE. And they make some single dildos. All of the dildos they sell, including the Tango, which is the double that you got, have an insertion for a bullet vibe. And the singles do too. And the angle is really good for the insertion of it. So even if you have a bullet vibe that's a little bit too long, it still never gets in the way. But the best thing that I like about it is that the part of it that sits against the woman is made really intentionally so that it's three-dimensional. It's not flat. It's got a little bit of a curve to it. It's a little convex. And it just kind of like nestles right in between the vaginal lips right there. And the placement of the vibe is awesome.
Nice.
So you get some really nice clitoral vibrations. But with the toys that you have, I'm not sure if it would fit the toys you have or not, but the very best bullet vibe out there is We Vibe Tango. It's waterproof. It is has like 8 different speeds and patterns, and it's rechargeable, so you never need to use any kind of batteries, and it's just the most, and it's very, very powerful. It's my favorite one. So yeah, there you go. That's my favorite combination there.
Nice. I definitely want to check that out.
Yeah. And it's not the softest dildo. Theirs are not the softest. So if you're attached to the soft part, that may not work for you, because it's the same hardness or firmness or whatever you want to call it that the Tango is, you know, same silicone. So.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Anyway. So, wow, that is just amazing. So let me take you back then to the very first time you ever had a pegging experience with that very first partner. What was that like for you? Tell us the story.
Well, it was really hot. But
we're not talking about the weather.
No, we're not. but we like kind of fucked everything up. Like neither one of us really knew what we were doing. We just knew sort of like the end goal.
Where things went, yes.
Yeah. So we had this toy that was horrible. I mean, it was probably made out of like the most unhealthy materials ever.
Okay.
It was like this like black rubbery sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was a double in theory, but it didn't really work that way because it was kind of shaped wrong.
Okay.
Anyway, she got it on and everything, and I was like, you know, face down. And we realized right away that it was like way the hell too big.
Oh, man.
like at that point, like I had no idea that like that was one of the things that really surprised me, was that I had no idea that that it required so much ramping up, you know,
preparation.
Like,
sure.
Yeah. Like that it needed to be so gradual. Like
what the hell? Why isn't it like a vagina?
Yeah, like I thought she could just like throw me down on the bed and now we're fucking. So we tried to do that. That didn't work. And then we just sort of like we stuck with, you know, the stuff we had because that was all we had. And we just like kept trying really, really, really slowly. And after like I don't even know how long of that, like it finally worked and she fucked me and it was hot as hell.
Nice. So this initial toy that you had, was it a double that she was supposed to hold in herself, or did it have a harness to it as well?
It had a harness to it as well.
Well, that's good. Okay.
Yeah, so it was at least functional. It was just like the shape was horrible. Like it had this like really bizarre, like kind of squarish base to it. Like it didn't seem like there was any attention paid at all to like the shape of a person's body.
Sometimes I think that they don't test these, which just boggles the mind, doesn't
Yeah.
it? Well, I'm so happy that it ended up hot as hell and that you stuck with it and did everything really slowly. And that's so awesome.
Well, I mean, only because we had to.
Because you
But...
had to, sure. It's like, whoa, 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 that fucking hurts. Yeah, I'll
Yeah,
bet.
exactly.
Wow. And so now, all the way back to present time, looking back over it and the pegging that you do with your wife and all that. What's the best part of the pegging experience for you? What's your favorite part?
For me, it's the intimacy. Like I feel like closer to somebody when I'm doing that than like any other time. I mean, it's also the fact that it's like the best orgasms too, but I would say the intimacy is probably the thing that like, you know, really gives me such attachment to it.
And is the intimacy because it's such a vulnerable thing? Or talk to me about that if you can.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the vulnerability of it, like you said. It's also that, you know, going back to my whole life, really, I mean, up to present day, even. Obviously, my like sexual interests are not exactly in line with like the male ideal in our culture. And so when I do that with somebody, like I feel like part of the intimacy for me is that I'm like showing this really, really private part of myself.
Yeah, the
And
revealing.
yeah, and like it's being like not only accepted, but like participated in.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm getting the feels. No, that's beautiful. That's exactly what I talk about. And that's why it's such a delicate moment when men are revealing that this is something that they love and that they would like to try, or something even that just that they're interested in. That is why it's such a tender place. Is because it is not in line with the ideals of society. It's crazy. So, wow, that's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. So, when you started doing the pegging, was there anything that happened that you didn't expect, except for that whole, didn't realize you had to ramp up thing? Did
Yeah,
anything
I
else
mean,
take you by surprise?
yeah, nothing really comes to mind except that, and this is, I guess, kind of the same thing as the ramping up thing. But like, one thing about the first time that I definitely needed to improve was that like there was pain, and that just somehow had never even occurred to me. And even now, it's like something that I need to like be really careful with because it seems like if anything, like I'm even more like that than most.
Interesting.
So like even now there's kind of like this this like struggle between like, okay, this is really hot, like fuck me, and oh fuck, we need to slow down.
Yes.
You know, like even
Yes.
now, like sometimes there's pain because I'm impatient. Like
Yes. Interesting. Yeah, I know that some men and women get to the point where anal sex is really no problem. They can just open right up and you can just sort of grab somebody and fuck them. But sometimes I think that there's some psychological stuff in there too. That it's sort of like, okay, I want this, but because you have so much input from everything around you that counters something that you enjoy so much and you love. And sometimes I think there's this like inner battle or something, and it translates into your body. Gives a whole
Yeah,
new
I
meaning
think
to like
so.
tight ass, right?
Yeah, I mean that like that what you just described of like, oh, we can just like go right into anal, like that has happened to me like zero times.
Wow.
I
Let's
mean, I'd
see.
love it if it would, but
Sure. So when did you find out that pegging could give you these amazing orgasms?
Definitely before I ever had sex.
Oh, you found that out yourself. Awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, sort of. I didn't really do a whole lot as far as like experimenting solo, but I had certainly gotten into like pegging porn and so on. And so I just kind of knew from that that it was like such a huge turn on that, like, you know, of course doing this in real life is going to be even better.
And, but when, you know, the first time that you had any, you know, even if it wasn't pegging, the first time that you had an orgasm with prostate stimulation, did it take you by surprise?
Not really. I mean, it was, I guess the only thing that took me by surprise was just that it made the orgasm itself like feel physically different. Like there, it didn't surprise me that I liked it so much, but like the stimulation on the prostate at the same time as orgasm, like that definitely felt distinct.
So are you the kind of guy who likes to have your prostate stimulation, whether that's with fingers or toys or pegging, separate from the cock stimulation? Or are you like simultaneous or?
Oh, simultaneous.
Definitely simultaneous. Okay.
Yeah.
And it takes me back to a memory of, that I have of one of the first guys that I pegged, and it was his first time. I did him in doggy style and did a reach around, and he came and he just kind of collapsed on the bed and just looked at me and said, I had no idea. Because he was a very sexually open person, and he was this kind of person where it was like, this is something new. I might like it. Sure, let's explore this, right?
Mm.
It was pretty cool to be able to provide a guy with the orgasm that he had never experienced, quite that intensity.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can almost answer this question myself just from listening to you, but have you ever had any doubts about your masculinity or felt any shame around your love of anal play?
Not really. I mean, definitely when I was growing up, but not for many years. I mean, there was a time where I was so young that like, I just didn't even know what to make of my sexuality, let alone pegging.
Sure. And partly because it didn't fit with like the regular stuff that everybody was talking about.
Yeah, and partly because it was like so early. Like I don't know if I was actually interested in sex earlier than my peers or anything, but certainly like nobody was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so a while at the very beginning, I was just like, why do I have any of these thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got older, like I don't know, like I've always been into it and I've always been open with my partners and stuff. But it definitely, you know, becomes obvious to everybody at some point that there are like expectations and that I'm not that. But yeah, other than that, no.
Yes. And I congratulate you that you're not that and that you are who you are. That's the coolest thing about all of it is that you are who you are. So how out are you about all of this? You know, certainly you are out with your partners, which is fabulous that you've all your long-term partners have included pegging in the relationship. What about the people around you?
Nah, I'm not out with it. I knew some people a while back that were kind of in like the BDSM scene. And I was out with them because I knew that they were kinky. But I'm not out with my like presumed vanilla friends.
That's always, it's a good word to put in there, Matt, because you never really know.
Yeah.
I love how the kinky people, yeah. Because I consider myself absolutely kinky. I'm into BDSM, and it's funny how sometimes we become the people to confess to, you know, or ask questions of about sexuality and stuff, because it's like there's an automatic assumption that you're really open-minded, which is pretty much true.
Yeah. I remember one time, I'm sure this has probably happened more than once, but I remember one time I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said something to indicate sort of my overall kinkiness. And they just kind of got this like weird screwed up look on their face. And I was like, oh fuck, TMI.
Yeah, but that's the defining line though, you know. I remember having a Christmas party and sitting down with a bunch of people I hadn't seen in a long time. It was, I invited a whole bunch of people to my home. And a lot of them would ask me, so what have you been doing? And I said, oh, I've been writing. Really? What have you been writing? Well, I write erotica. That was the defining moment. You know, if they were open-minded and maybe even, it didn't make any difference whether they were kinky, if they were just sort of sex positive and open-minded, they would kind of lean forward and go, really? And if they weren't, they'd go, boom, subject change, just
good
like
filter.
That.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. How about like frequency? How often do you guys peg? And do you have a difference in terms of how often one or the other of you want it?
Yeah, I think we probably average about once a week. And I think the difference there is just that like my sex drive is like through the roof. And hers is like I don't know. I don't think she has a low sex drive, but it's probably more average. Like me, like if I like ruled the universe or whatever, like I would probably do it like multiple times a day.
Not just every day, multiple times a day.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean unless I like got too sore or something.
Sure,
Yeah.
sure. I'm just kind of sitting with that. Multiple times a day. Wow. And does is part of that just, I mean, certainly there's the physical pleasure, but is part of it also just enjoying the whole submission part of it?
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's a
It's
huge part of it for you.
definitely both all at once, yeah.
And without getting specific, do you work in a field where you were doing the like the in control thing all day long?
In a way, yeah.
So is there contrast there then, going from, vanilla work life and walking around in the world where you have to be in control, and then in bed when you can let her run everything?
Oh yeah, definitely. It definitely feels like there's a contrast there. I feel as though when I go to work and stuff, I'm doing my best to control everything as much as I possibly can. And I definitely like for me, there's all the stuff we already talked about, but there's also like sort of the relaxation or recreation of it to like have this part of my life where I have no control. Like, and for me, like, it's not even, I mean, pegging is a big part of that for me, but it's also, I feel it like instantaneously the second that I'm like, cuffed to a bed or something. It's like, boom, suddenly I have no control. And that feels fantastic.
So, okay, so that takes us into different territory because you didn't tell me you were kinky. So let's talk
Oh,
about that a little bit. What? Cuff to the bed. Let's go right down that road. What other kinks do you overlap pegging with?
Well, I mean, a lot of like femdom type stuff. Or do you mean like specific acts?
Oh, no, not necessarily, just general categories.
But
Like
yeah,
bondage
just
and restraints clearly are one.
like femdom for sure, bondage. What else?
And do you do like impact play, spanking, that kind of stuff as well?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Whenever possible.
Now, do you think that when you first saw those pictures of pegging so long ago, I'm assuming that they were probably a femdom type of thing?
It was actually just a woman fucking a guy, and I think she was wearing maybe like black leather or something, but there was nothing really explicitly kinky about it,
I
other
see.
than perhaps her clothes.
Right, so the femdom didn't come from watching that kind of porn. It was something that was in you all along. Interesting.
Yeah, in fact, like the first time I ever had a sexual fantasy at all that I can remember, it was kind of a femdom sort of thing. I mean, I didn't think of it that way, but like looking back, like there was definitely like a dom sub aspect to it, and it's a woman in control.
It took me so long to realize that there was definitely a meaning behind the fact that all the fantasies that I ever get off on are always me doing things to someone. And when I realized that, I went, oh, right. Yes, I'm definitely dominant. Because I hadn't even, it's been so rare that I've gotten off on a fantasy of somebody doing something to me. It's just, that's fascinating how we're wired differently.
That's such a perfect way to put it, because yeah, I mean, everything I can think of in my erotic imagination is something being done to me.
Yes, exactly. And I think that is the defining line. Definitely. That element that automatically comes with it. You're either in control or you're not. So, why do you think that in society there's the whole taboo thing and the stigma around pegging?
Well, I don't know if this is kind of a non-answer, but I think it's, to me, it seems like it's all part of one big larger whole, which is gender roles. That like pegging is like the sort of, diametrically opposed to the established roles of both partners.
It is, yes.
So it's like kind of the worst you can get in a sense, as far as going against that.
So it takes the binary and just throws it in your face.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, because that is really a subject that is being discussed so much amongst my sex educator friends right now. It's a big subject that's up right now. And the whole pronoun thing and all of that, and gender fluidity and all different kinds of gender orientations or non, you know, identifiers. And when I teach my class, it presents a real big challenge for me because I use convenient pronouns. I usually do a pronoun disclaimer. And what I mean by that is I say, okay, so I know that there are people who identify as male that don't have a prostate, people that identify as female that do. I don't mean to exclude anyone or discriminate, but I'm going to use convenient gender pronouns because otherwise what I'm left with when I teach my classes is really awkward things like prostate owners and non-prostate owners.
That seems a little clunky.
It does. And it makes it a little difficult for me, but I'm trying to find a way. In fact, next week I'm going to speak with someone who really has dove into that subject and we'll see if we can figure something out on ways to teach my classes, because pretty soon I'm going to have some webinars up and I'll be teaching long distance. So just kind of want to get it down so I don't offend anyone. Mm. And that was never more obvious than when I taught at DomCon, and afterwards I had a couple come up, and the person that appeared to be a woman in my eyes was dressed as a man, and the person that appeared to be biologically a man was dressed as a woman. And the one dressed as a man said to me, you know, you really need to work on your pronouns, and because different situations exist. And that person was very diplomatic about it, but it stuck with me. And it was the good starting point for me to kind of wake up and go, oh, yeah. Mm. But all those assumptions attached to gender are also what make it difficult for women strapping one on. They kind of freak out about that sometimes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So have any of your partners sort of gone through that?
Yeah. I actually had a long-term relationship that kind of ended because of that.
Oh, wow.
We were together for a long time, and we had been pegging the whole time. And I didn't find out until – I don't know if it's that I didn't find out or if that it kind of evolved over time. Mm-hmm. But towards the end of the relationship, it came out that she just wasn't comfortable being in that role.
Hmm. Well, it's too bad she didn't say so right away.
Yeah, I wish she had. But I mean, I don't know. This is when I was a lot younger, and I think she didn't necessarily even realize it right away. Mm-hmm. But over the course of our relationship, it became apparent to her that it just wasn't working for her. Mm-hmm. And she wanted me to be in more of a traditional role as well. And it wasn't the only factor that led to the end of the relationship, but it was definitely a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes I get the letters from the women who their partners want them to act more dominant, perhaps like you would enjoy, and they just don't have a clue how to do it. And sometimes they have those sort of dominant underpinnings, but they haven't really tapped into it because society with women, again, I mean, we get a similar thing in the opposite direction, are really told we shouldn't be dominant and we should be soft and pliable and amenable to suggestions and what have you. So even if they have dominant underpinnings, they've been so squashed down over time. And you know, I can just picture as I'm saying these words, the exact same, you switch the gender and it's the exact same thing for men. It's like if there's any feminine parts that are there and want to come out a little bit, society's like, no, no, no.
Oh, yeah. I mean, beat it out of you in some cases.
Yeah. I was so sad when I read an article that it was a piece, I think, that Dan Savage wrote. I can't remember. I think maybe he talked about it, but somebody else wrote the piece, and it was about how there was a study done that showed that actually the happiest men were the out gay and bisexual men, because straight men spent so much time trying to do things that weren't seen as gay, and they were constantly worried about it. And I thought, wow, that just speaks volumes about how screwed up our society is.
Yeah, definitely.
So I totally agree with you about the whole gender issue right now. I'll be very happy when men can run around all the time, not just wearing kilts, but wearing skirts. Now, that's a selfish thing because it feeds into my fantasies and they're very accessible. I mean, I know how exciting it's been when I've been with guys and I just kind of let drop, yeah, you know, no underwear tonight. It's a pretty cool thing. So I would like the same privilege, you know. So if you could choose just like one word to encapsulate the whole pegging experience and you had to choose just one word, what would it be?
Oh, man, that's hard.
I know. It's a very hard one.
I'd be better with off with like a list.
Check five, right?
I would say fulfilling.
Well, do we a little pun in there?
Little bit, little bit.
Fulfilling, that's lovely. Yeah, the intimacy factor is a thing that still kind of amazes me. I mean, I see the whole softening, even like in during the act when I penetrate my partner, I see that whole softening and vulnerability and opening is the best way I can describe it. And that's the part that just feeds the intimacy. It's just such an amazing connection.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I get letters like that all the time. Well, I'm so happy that you decided to be my interview because it's been great talking with you. And you are
Likewise.
a different story than I've been able to present to my listeners so far because you found out about it so early. Your pegging road has been fairly smooth.
Yeah.
No big huge things along the way of people stomping out. Well, except for the one girlfriend that finally said, this is not happening, but.
Yeah, but that was so many years into it that it was, by that point I was relatively comfortable with who I was and you know what I mean? Like I feel like if that had happened with my first girlfriend, maybe it would have been a different story.
That's true, because it's so impressionable in that first experience. How lovely that you had someone who was so open.
Yeah.
So, what would you say to other men, first of all, and then other women who are thinking about trying this? What would you tell them?
Well, I would definitely say go ahead. I mean, it's
Mm-hmm.
certainly a very rewarding experience.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you end up not liking it, I mean, you haven't lost anything.
Checked another thing off your list.
Yeah. Might as well find out if you like it.
So often I tell women who are trying to convince their male partners, which does happen, not as often as the other way around, just tell him that, he can experience an orgasm 10 times more powerful than anything he's ever had. Why do you have to go any further? But then that's like a flip answer because I know that it's so much more complicated than that. Most men have so much more of an emotional involvement with society's taboos and how they're looked at and how difficult it is to reveal the desires that they have.
Sure. It is a great selling point, though.
It is. So, have you ever had any girlfriends like tell on you and tell your friends after you broke up with them?
I never have unless I never found out.
Good for you. That's
To be
awesome.
honest, I mean, like even that relationship I mentioned before, and like most of my other relationships, like they ended and it was sad, but it wasn't like a we hate each other now thing.
Burn the
Like,
house down type of thing, yeah.
I mean, I don't really see them much, but like we're on friendly terms.
That's awesome. You're like the model of so many things, Matt. It's like self-acceptance, and following your desires early and having good people to explore them with. And yeah, good for you. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for coming on the show and talking with me. I really appreciate it.
Happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Alrighty then. I hope you enjoyed that interview. I really enjoyed doing it with Matt. And before I close out here, I'm going to read you one quick letter, and mostly I'm going to read it to you because it has to do with future podcasts. I received this message from someone on FetLife. Hi Ruby, I just wanted to thank you for your podcasts. I just discovered your site. I'm another cross-dressing pegging slut. I hope you have something to say about the cross-dressing role play dynamic in one of your podcasts. I'd be interested to know what your take on it is. Hugs and kisses, Paula. And I wrote back and told Paula, I think I'm going to ask cross-dressers and transvestites to write/call in for one podcast. It's time that I did that. Thanks for reaching out. Would you be willing to tell me your take on the differentiation between cross-dressers and transvestites? I want to present that to my listeners and educate them as well as myself. My understanding is that cross-dressing can be absent the sexual component, whereas transvestite includes it. And Paula wrote me back. Hi, Ruby. Thanks for getting back to me so quickly. The cross-dressing thing is so very complicated. I am overly introspective. I can't tell you how often I've heard, you think too much. That being the case, I've spent countless hours and read books and theories about crossdressers, transvestites, and transsexuals. Still, the most informative has been communicating with other crossdressers and transvestites through online venues. What I've come to is that no two are alike. While there can be many similarities between us, there always is something or other that differentiates us. That being the case, I can only speak for myself, so please keep this in mind. My take on the cross-dressing transvestite difference is that cross-dressers are not interested in transitioning. It's not in our makeup, parentheses pun. Often, cross-dressers are straighter. Why the er? My personal feeling is that there is a continuum between straight and gay. Me, I've figured out that I am not into men, transformed into my femme sauna, Paula, or not. Though some crossdressers seem to get some sort of affirmation from male attention, some even act on it, sucking and being fucked by them, yet identifying as straight when they are not transformed. See, it gets complicated. For me, transforming is definitely a fetish. It started when I was a preteen and has never really gone away. It wanes, but comes back, usually with a force. The compulsion to dress can be triggered by a sensual cosmetic ad or a lingerie display at Macy's. Recently, I saw Charlize Theron in a perfume ad on TV and started obsessing on dressing. The sexual juju wrapped up in cross-dressing is very strong for me. I prefer to call it X-dressing, as in X-rated. The process is sensual and lengthy. From the shaving and lotions to the obsessive must-be-perfect makeup to the amazing feeling of silky, nasty lingerie, stockings sliding onto freshly shaved and moisturized legs, the clothes, corsets, fabrics that are foreign to my daily maleness, the wig, which is the final touch, all leading up to the reveal. The first look into the mirror and seeing a feminine version of myself looking back. More than once, this has caused me to spontaneously ejaculate. I've been lucky to have a wife that not only accepted my telling her about wanting to X-dress, but got into it right away, which is a long story unto itself. We had already been into pegging, but this added a wonderful new dimension to it. Believe it or not, normally I am the top in our sexual relationship. Pegging was a bit difficult for my wife in that it insinuates a dominant role, something that she was not experienced with. We'd played a lot with DS, but with me always topping. When I am transformed, she calls me her slutty, lipstick, lesbian play toy. She has been able to aggressively take on a more femdom role. The most intense pegging sessions we have had have been with me X-dressed and getting in touch with the wanton fuck slut in me. I can be quite the bottom bitch. In simple terms, transvestites seem to be more heading towards transsexual. I think more likely to question their gender correctness and would be more apt to explore transitioning into the female they feel they might be. Crossdressers are motivated by different, more sexual than gender-oriented drives. This is my take on the difference. There is another term that I'm seeing used more frequently these days, cross-dreamer. It comes from a controversial and mostly unaccepted theory of autogynephilia, a sex-fueled mental illness made up by Ray Blanchard. Blanchard defines it as a man's paraphilic tendency to be sexually aroused by the thought or image of himself as a woman. A paraphilia is a condition in which a person's sexual arousal and gratification depend on fantasizing about and engaging in sexual behavior that is atypical. Okay, enough already. No matter what the fuck, I love to be pegged by my wife, especially when I'm being her slutty lesbian fucktoy. I have many times experienced the deeply different orgasm, parentheses prostate, hands-free, that I would never have experienced without the wonders of strap-on. So Paula, thank you so much for writing to me. And yeah, covering this on my podcast is actually a subject that's a bit overdue. So let this be an invitation to all the cross-dressers and transvestites listening. Please write in and tell me your truth. Describe it to me. Tell me your story. How does cross-dressing fit into your life? Is it something you share with a partner, your friends, or your family? Or do you hide it? What part does it play in connection with the pegging in your life? What about it do you love the most? What part is the most difficult? Do you go out in public cross-dressed? Do you wear only a few things like panties and stockings? Or do you, like Paula, enjoy transforming into the feminine version of yourself? Is cross-dressing sexually connected for you, or is it separate? How do you get your clothes? Does anyone go shopping with you? How do you incorporate your love of cross-dressing into your life? You can call me at 805-500-6544 and tell me your story. Or you can write those words down and send them to ruby@peggingparadise.com. There are links on my blog for you to follow me on Twitter at @ruby_writer on Facebook. You can also subscribe to my blog there. You can listen to this podcast through iTunes, and it's also available through various podcast downloader apps, and it can be streamed directly from my blog at peggingparadise.com as well.
Do you fantasize about having a sexier, more satisfying life? Entice Me is devoted to teaching men and women about positive, pleasure-focused approaches to sexuality. Whether you're spicing it up in the bedroom with your partner, planning a private retreat, or looking to just feel sexier, Entice Me will help fulfill your desires. Entice Me works with your needs to make positive changes in your life, in and out of the bedroom. Entice Me offers an award-winning, luxury line of ultra-fashionable, sophisticated haute toys and pleasure objects, which are of the highest quality. With in-home education, demonstrations, and discreet shopping, you'll have the time of your life spicing up your sex life. So what are you waiting for? Visit enticeme.com for more information about our products and services, or simply call 714-386-9684. That's 714-386-9684. Entice Me, making it a sexier world.
I'm going to leave it there for today. Thank you all for downloading and listening. You're the best. Happy pegging.